Folks, here at the Giant Size Team Up Network, we realize we are failures at podcasting, so in yet another attempt to rebrand ourselves, we decided to embrace our Appalachian and Southern heritage by opening up the Giant Size Team Up Brewery and Grain Alcohol Distillery. What we lack in integrity and quality, we make up for in alcohol content. Here, let me tell you a bit about our latest concoctions. The Breaking the Panel Bourbon is our self-proclaimed rock god of alcohols. It has won every single made-up alcohol championship for the last 47 years, and I dare any of you to try and dispute it, but don't bother because you're wrong. Next up, our botched podcast moonshine. We test its readiness not by taste, but by how flammable it is. If it doesn't have a chance to cause spontaneous combustion, then what's the point? To what powers our attempt to rip off, I mean pay homage to Australia's great 4X bitter beer? Just like 4X, our beer tastes like dirt that a cat pissed on. But to make it stand out, every bottle has a collectible toy painted with extra reliable American-made lead paint inside. FTH Beyond is a beer unlike any other you've ever tried. Every bottle a different experience. Will you get lucky and have that best experience of your life? Well, if you pay enough money, that is. Otherwise, it's a roll of the dice where you'll most likely get a skunk's beer. Geek Versus is our own special form of party cake fiesta fireball. It is a mixture or battle of flavors in your mouth that will have you coming back for more. Or was it headed to the morgue? I can't remember. The Blazing Defender Report is our attempt at a Kentucky-style bourbon protein shake. You'll be drunk within seconds, but you will have more stamina than a Kentucky Derby thoroughbred. With a slight Black Rifle coffee finish, this is the perfect beverage at the gym or if you just want to forget the past 11 years. And lastly, for the kids, we have our strongest drink in Pokemon Go podcast. Now remember, it's never too early to develop a horribly detrimental and debilitating addiction, but at least you won't remember you couldn't catch that perfect IV Lugia. We are located in a homemade bunker made of school buses, cafeteria equipment, and Fisher-Price playsets just off of I-81 before you reach the Maryland border from PA. Just tell Skeeter life ain't worth living, and he'll show you on in. So head on over to www.giantsizeteamup.com to learn more about our exciting beverages today.
These days, the comic book owns pop culture. You'll find it all in the panel of your favorite comic book. Us, we're living the comic's life. We're breaking the panel.
Welcome to Breaking the Panel, where we talk about everything that's awesome. And then this week, some not so awesome stuff, but it's all about the fandom, the comic book world, and what age would we be in comics? Adamantium age? You know, we had silver, we had gold. What age are we now?
It's the age of the orange.
Rhymes with orange?
I don't know.
I am the Rock God Podcasting Charles McFall over there to the far left of politics, the right side of my heart, Philip Keating.
Hi! It's great to be back again.
Guess who's back? Back again.
And the not quite good as Chris Wisdom, Paul Klotz.
Get the fuck out of here.
I almost went with a different name. I was like, I don't want to say that name. Now, be excited, Klotz, because I'm about to heap a ton of praise on your shoulders. You did a kick-ass job on the Giant Size Team Up panel for Infinity War, man.
Oh, thank you.
It was great. Phil's like, there were some good lines. You're passionate. You're excited. You carried the conversation through. You made sure everybody got to speak. As I do, I forget things, but there was shit. I've taken with botched. If I hear something hilarious I want to comment on, I'll actually just stop the show and text either Dennis or Phil right then. Because I'll forget. And I should have done that when I was listening to Infinity War in my car. And I use Siri, everybody. I don't text and drive. But I should have stopped and texted you. At least you would have had it to pull up. Because there was some funny shit you said that cracked me up. Now, Dennis got me with the I was going to give it a 2, but I had to knock it down a point. So it's a 1 out of 10. That cracked me up. But you had some great lines, and you did a great job. And you guys kicked ass. I appreciate you.
Thank you,
everybody. It's been 3 weeks, so it is spoiler crazy now. We can talk about whatever we want on the shows if it comes up, and you should have seen it, hopefully. Even my dad saw it, which he usually waits forever to go see a film. He saw it within the third week. He texted me, he's like, I saw Infinity War. I am Infinity sad.
Charles, I don't feel so good.
Well, we can always call Casey in because, you know, he's here for the betterment of the universe. Everybody just stops. You used that line last week, too. It don't feel so good. Shut up.
That was
get some new material.
Yeah, that was Phil. Yeah.
Oh,
Charles, so it's called a meme. It's a meme. It's everybody on the internet has used that line in the last couple weeks.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So we're talking about some canceled shows. Like,
can
this
we go
one.
Back to talking about the episode of this show that you weren't on that was great?
It was very great. Although I think Joe listens to the show, so I'm gonna give him a heartfelt fuck you, Joe, because nobody made a stupid-ass racist joke, but you had to keep bringing it up, didn't you, asshole? Thank you very much. Catch him on Pokemon Go every Thursday night.
Yeah, it's always my favorite when something like that, like a joke that we've beaten to death, keeps getting brought up, and then nobody else really piles on, because that kind of happened a couple times. Sorry, Joe.
Yeah, he did it, and you're like, yeah, and just moved on. I'm not sure which live meme. And that's the thing with Kapal. Some of us do... like my joke style is just kind of punch them with the just over the line wrong kind of joke. Phil's just witty and cut you with that sharp wit. Paul is a living meme generator, and I couldn't tell which meme you were going to play in that show until the second time Joe made the racist joke, and then you're like, "Yep." The moon on to the meme was screw you, Joe. That was the meme.
that's a common theme.
It fell dead on the show. It was funny. You did a good bit with it, and I appreciate it. The Guy Fieri shit. Fuck you guys.
I've been saying that for years now.
I'm going to take a moment to discuss this. For the folks at home who don't know, I found a picture of this dress. Okay, so obviously most people have heard about the prom dress drama where this girl went to her prom wearing an Asian style dress, and you know, people brought up the questions that keep coming up about appropriation. Yeah. And all that.
Right.
But somebody had a picture of this woman in this dress that had flames all over it, and Guy Fieri fucking shared that and said, "Stop misappropriating my culture."
The quote is, "My culture is not your prom dress," which I believe was one of the original quotes from the.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. So that meme was more on point. But as far as I could tell, real Guy Fieri did that.
Yeah.
And so I shared it to Charles's wall on Facebook, and I was like, "You need to get with your spirit animal and shut that shit down. Like, you got to defend your culture." And I tagged a bunch of people because what good is a meme if everybody doesn't see it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, if you guys didn't know.
Now you know.
Guy Fieri and Charles are like.
Kindred spirits.
Yeah.
I mean, we've never seen them in the same place at the same time.
Probably so. Twins separated at birth. They might not be the same age, but I believe it still.
I'm almost certain they're both in their 60s.
I'll say I like the Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Okay, I like watching that show. But fuck you guys.
Of course you would. It's like watching a mirror that's on TV.
Hey, man, you got to support your family.
Why wouldn't you go to Flavortown? I mean, why? Why wouldn't you? Of course you would. Of course you would. All right, I'm done. I'm done with the guy.
Are we sure?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess. So it is that time in fandom where new shows come out, old shows. And it's a very interesting and rocky time. So we've got NBC. We're going to flip through. This one surprised me, is renewed. Well, so
let's just start off by saying this season as a whole has been pretty savage, the announcements for the year.
Yeah, they're cutting a lot of things I've been on TV.
Everybody's trimming fat. And a lot of it's to be
expected. I argue some of this is not fat, you know.
That's the thing, though, like a lot of this stuff was solid. But yeah, go ahead, jump into it.
Well, the one that surprised me the most is the Emmy award-winning, I think it's Emmy, it might be Golden Globes, but Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Fox has had it on for four or five seasons. Fox canceled it, and then NBC went, nope, we'll take you. Thanks.
Yeah.
So it actually is going to live on NBC. I'm wondering how it's going to change. I'll admit,
well,
I haven't been able to keep up with it, but I love that show. I've seen the first three or four seasons, I think.
See, that's the thing is, so I was talking with someone else about this, and from what I understand, the issue with Brooklyn Nine-Nine is I don't think Fox is paying attention to Hulu numbers. And Brooklyn Nine-Nine is the kind of show that people watch.
That's all I did is watch it on Hulu.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's I would never go out of my way to try to tune in to Brooklyn Nine-Nine while it was airing on TV. It's just not that kind of show. However, when I'm, you know, playing a video game on my phone or just doing, you know, doing something around the house or whatever, it's absolutely the show I will throw on in the background, let it play, turn and watch when something really particularly funny is going on or something like that. Or
which is at least two or three times in a 30-minute episode.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing.
It's,
but
it's got some great moments.
That's the other thing, though, too. I really think in today's environment, a half-hour show has a rough time keeping people's attention unless they're binging it.
Yeah.
It's just not enough time.
But I will say with this show, like you, I don't just sit down and watch it. But if I'm, you know, like this particular Friday, I'll be at home working from home. And then what's going on, I'll have my TV running. And that's the show I'll put on and just let it run. And I can't, when the first episode ends, I want to see the next episode and then the next. And I will just watch four or five hours solid of it. And it's amazing. So I'm glad that NBC picked it up. But NBC has not been known for keeping their since the 90s. It hasn't really been NBC. What was it Thursday?
30 Rock.
Yeah, they canceled that.
Yeah, after like 9 or 10 seasons.
Yeah, yeah. When not really, like early 2000s. That was their outlier. I mean, that was their outrun. But in the 90s, they had Friends. They had Seinfeld. Okay. They had some other stuff.
Yeah, they used to be must-see TV.
Just Dirty Rock, and then now it's like, yeah.
Well, they had Parks and Recs for a while. Right? Yeah. They had Parks and Rec? Yeah. No?
Yeah. No, that's true.
That show's better than 30 Rock.
You shut the fuck
up. It is completely better than 30 Rock.
Childish Gambino would disagree.
I don't know if it's that clear. Like, they're different shows.
They are
different.
I mean, they're both great. The first four seasons of 30 Rock are fantastic, but they got into a writing crutch, and you know,
but the juxtaposition of that is the first season of Parks and Rec is abysmal.
It
does not find its legs until midway through the second season, and then it takes off running.
But thankfully, season one is only what, like 6 episodes,
something like that. Maybe it might be a little longer than that.
Felt like 18.
It's rough because the big thing with that is it was trying to be an extension of The Office, essentially, not never in spirit, not in actual. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is funny that you would, you know, defend it because you hate The Office, but you like Parks and Rec.
The best thing that comes out of Parks. I mean, a lot of great things, I'm sure, but the best thing is
Ron Swanson.
That's it. Yep. And
Star-Lord was there somewhere, but I mean,
yeah, which is why I actually gave it a chance. Is after Guardians came out, I was like, oh, he's on this show, I'll go check it out. And the first, like you said, the first season was like,
well, real talk. I'm gonna get up on my soapbox about this for just a second. I think that what's great about Parks and Rec is every character that stuck around through most of the run is incredible.
Yeah.
Like, they all have their story threads that run throughout, they get interwoven. For the most part, all the characters stay consistent. You can see the punchlines coming a lot of times, but they're always great. Like Tom, for example, you always know Tom is going to be immature and materialistic, but then have the little glimmer of a heart of gold on the inside.
And Aziz Ansari, right?
Yeah, Aziz Ansari.
And that's his style of comedy, so it fits him.
And then when they paired him and Donna and made it this, like, treat yourself. You know,
the treat yourself episode.
Yeah, dude, like, that's the thing is, that show is an incredible ensemble where everybody gets to shine, and that's why I'm such a big fan of that show.
And they also had really good, small cameo bits of, like, people that live in the town, and it's, like, Patton Oswalt or Harris Whittles or, you know, Paul Rust, all these other, you know, great comedians just because they're friends, and they would come on to
a scene. I know he's... You know, obviously been pushed into the shadows recently, but Louis was on it for a while.
Yeah, he was a love interest as a cop. So anyway, we're not here to talk about how great Parks and Rec is.
So yeah, that's not on the list. So I imagine it got canceled a while back, or it's good to go. I don't know.
It's
Parks and Rec?
Yeah,
I know. The show ended years ago.
I don't know. I gave up after halfway through the second season because it was shit. Now everybody tells me no.
You're shit, Dad. You're shit.
This one has nothing to do with fandom, but Good Girls. I mention it because my kids are on 3 episodes of that show.
Oh,
and it is pretty neat. I mean, they got some great FaceTime. It's fun, but I'm going to tell you that is the only good thing about this show. I feel so bad for Matthew Lillard because I love him to death. And to be 5 feet from him was just a moment of like, and I can't talk to him, so I didn't. But it's like, I've been watching Matthew Lillard since he fucking broke into B movies in the 90s. You know, love his shit. But they did not give him a good character. It's a horrible character. It's a horrible show. And watching my kids in it was the best thing about it. So that one's been canceled.
I got to shout out the one below it here.
Okay.
The Good Place. My roommate Sean and I, we watched it this past weekend, the entire first season. It got renewed, by the way, so that's good. We watched it because he's been listening to Adam Savage's podcast lately. And Adam and his guests or co-hosts or whoever was on a particular episode, they were talking about how The Good Place is probably one of the best comedies on right now. And it's got really great writing and it's really clever and everything. And we watched it and we burned through the entire first season in a day.
I've heard really good. I've seen the first episode. It cracked me up. I just hadn't had time to go back and watch the rest of it.
Just the short run on the premise is that Kristen Bell plays yet another character that dies and is in the afterlife where apparently she's gone to the good place.
And she wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, and the architect of that good place is Ted Danson.
Yep. Which is great irony.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's in basically the basic plot is that she's not worthy of going to a heavenly place. She's kind of petty and self-centered at times and stuff. Not like a Mean Girls type thing, just like a...
Like us, just normal, everyday human.
Like she's generally an all-around fuck-up, basically. And I loved it. Like, it was great. They had lots of good character work in it and everything. And
do you get to see the bad place? Who runs the bad place?
Oswald.
No.
You don't use me.
Actually, it's a callback to Parks and Rec. It's Adam Scott. Yeah.
Oh, no. That's awesome.
Well, he doesn't necessarily run the bad place, but he's one of the agents of the bad place.
Oh, I'm going to have to watch it now because he's adorable in everything he does.
Honestly, it was great. And it's got some twists and turns and some character development stuff that I didn't expect. And it was really fun. It's a light show. You know, it's not a super serious, heavy show. It's... You know what it reminds me of a little bit is Eureka, if you remember that from
Sci-Fi. Yeah. It's got that cheesy but fun feel to it.
And yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
How many seasons are they in? Just
3?
3?
Second season is coming out right now, and the third season just got renewed, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, they're on the renewed list, yeah.
It's probably all on Hulu or on demand, so I'll check it out.
Yeah, the entire first season's on Hulu. The second season is going to be through your...
I will write it down.
Now, for Chris Wisdom, I think I've heard other people on this network talk about this. This Is Us has gotten renewed.
I've heard good things. I've heard it's a very powerful show emotionally. It's a big family drama.
Canceled. I haven't heard of any of these shows except Taken. And actually, Taken is one of those, like, to me, it's like Gotham. It's if I'm not doing anything else. Oh, yeah, that's on Netflix. Sure, I'll watch 5 minutes of that while I do something else that's brain numbing. I mean, Taken's okay. I think Gotham's okay. I don't think Gotham's...
We'll talk about Gotham when we get to it.
We'll get to it.
That's fine.
So, To Be Determined is Timeless, and a couple others. But Timeless was a great concept of alternate history and time travel with some decent character actors. That the first season just fell flat to me, and I just haven't followed it. And it was renewed for a second season, and now it's on the Who Knows list for the third. So,
who knows and who cares?
On ABC, we've got Celebrity Family Feud, which is no surprise. Dancing with the Stars. Fresh off the Boat. The Goldbergs, yep. which makes me happy.
Yep.
Good stuff. Good Doctor. Let me tell you guys, in a fandom sense, I mean, it's not like – I mean, fandom is just a fan of things, right? There's very few shows on today that I'm a fan of. I enjoy watching a whole lot of TV. The Good Doctor made me sit down, and every time my wife's like, what should we watch tonight? I'm like, let's watch that. And we watch that every night together. It is a phenomenal show. I am been in medicine for 22 years. I pretty much hate medical shows because they get it wrong. This show does a really good job. Really good job of the medicine. Every time, and the reason my wife likes it is because we call out bullshit, right? Oh, they're going to do this. Or why'd they do that? Did they just skip that and we're not supposed to question? And within the same scene, if we call something out, some character in that scene will call it out. I'm like, holy shit, this is great writing. So you should check that out if you haven't.
I've actually watched an episode or two of this, which is rare for me. But yeah, we had fun watching it.
If you don't know what it is, it's an autistic doctor. You know, he's on spectrum, so he's able to function. He's able to.
Oh, right, right. Yeah,
he's able to visualize what he's learned. He comes up with out of the box ideas. But of course, everybody's kind of at different levels. Everybody's kind of against him because he's a surgeon. Now he passed school, but like, you know, what happens when he messes up? How can he function? So they're dealing with real life. Discriminations, if you will. I mean, it's not the same as racism. They do deal with some.
Discrimination is still a thing. Yeah. Ableism, if you will.
There you go. Relationships, character development. I mean, Klotz, I know we give you a hard time about character development, but you will love the character development in this thing. And the kid, I call him a kid because he still looks young to me. He was Peter Pan. I can't remember which. I think the mid-2000 Peter Pan with Hugh Jackman. I think he was Peter Pan in that. But if you look him up on IMDb, you'll see that he's got a lot of great stuff. He nails Spectrum so well on this thing.
He was Charlie Bucket in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory with Johnny Depp.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. You
go. Just to put something a little bit more.
There you go. So definitely good. Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is on the list. But I'm going to steal this line, or I'm not going to say, I'm going to credit this line to Brian Ibbett, who I saw it from him first. Apparently, Thanos snapped his fingers, and we got a half season renewal of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, so the same thing's going on with Gotham. What it seems to be, the general idea for both of them is that they both got like a half season order so that they could wrap up their storylines and exit gracefully. And I also believe it'll push both shows into territory for syndication, which is a big goal, and it's a worthwhile goal as well. Let's be honest.
Sure.
It's how these networks are going to make their money back on the back end in the long term. So
now I've got an article that goes along with this. They announced it'll have a 13 episode run. Which, that's a Netflix run, by the way. That's a full season on Netflix.
I wonder if we're going to suddenly see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at its best, because it's going to have a short season.
I hope so.
It's and not going to be able to just dilly-dally.
Well, we talked about this before, with the writer's strike and them cutting out episodes actually forces the writing to be better, because they're not writing all these filler episodes.
Yeah, we've talked about just a 23, 24 episode run is insane nowadays. It's just too much stuff. When we were actively watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. talking about it on the show, it felt like two different seasons in one season. You know, is how that ran. The way they, I don't know who the they is. It's ABC. It might be Disney. It might just be Hulu. But the way they renegotiated the contract this year with Hulu sucked, because at the mid-season break, which was in December, right, November, December-ish, they went to their mid-season. I've been keeping up with it, even though I'm begrudgingly watching it, because they really just took the wind out of my sails with that last season, personally. But I'm watching. It's okay. It's cool. There's Kree. There's stuff. There's more comic book roots. I don't recognize anything from a storyline, but it feels more comic booky than before. Went to the season break, came back. And I went, oh, yeah, I think Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is back. And we got on, and, of course, the first half of that season, gone, which we'd already watched. It's fine. The first three, first whatever episode or two, basically when I got back, it should have been episode, let's say 10, 8 or 10, somewhere in there. When they came back, it was on episode 13. 12 was there. Nothing else was there. So I lost two episodes, and I can't do it. I can't do – I have to – that's one of the few little OCD things about me and TV. I got to watch them in order. If I don't watch it in order, it ain't going to happen, especially since I've watched all whatever fuck you feel play with Guitar Pig. But I've watched all the seasons in order. So now I have to wait till it hits Netflix. And apparently, according to Travis Jones and some other people, Mike Woodard, I think, as well, they've done some really killer shit in the last half – the second half of this season.
Do you think that – you know, now that it's doing its half season and then getting canceled, that this will start ending. I'm sorry?
Maybe it's not. But good.
Well, I'm saying, could it get picked up by the Disney streaming app?
Oh, yeah.
Or could Gotham get picked up by the DC streaming app that they, you know, are coming out with at the end of the year?
It depends on budgets. Clash, yeah. You're saying no.
It's a firm no on both. The whole reason I think they did, like I just said, they did half season orders for both to wrap up the storylines cleanly, to end what people were invested in, what they've been building for. Also, the other thing, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. needs to end because, you know, the first generation of the MCU is about to end. So yeah. It's time to move forward. You know what I mean? They can still explore some of that space later
they can
on.
Easily. Do a short run on Netflix. They can easily mix it into the.
I just don't. I think honestly, they've about worn out their welcome as far as
Agents of Sword.
Oh no! Actually, I was gonna be like bullshit. Then I was like, wait a minute, Agents of Sword would be dope.
Yeah,
Sword is awesome. Yeah, no, I mean that's. I just don't see. They've both had lagging viewership. They've both had lagging relevance.
Okay. Go ahead.
They've had peaks and valleys, and. These networks want smash successes. You know what I mean?
And yes. And I think it's bullshit. You know, we talked about this a week or two or three ago with Constantine, right? How it, when it got canceled, it had 4 or 5 million steady viewers. And then we see went, nope, you're out. You're not a smash hit. Yet CW Arrows was the number one show on that network at 2.8 million that year at that same time.
CW is not Fox. Yeah. Fox
isn't Fox anymore. ABC.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is your ABC, NBC, Fox, those are your mainline networks.
They're bloated corporate America.
Oh, no, I don't disagree, but they have expectations. You know, they're the biggest on the block for a reason. CW is great at capturing its audience, its core audience, which is that targeted younger demographic. They're looking for, you know, basically preteen all the way up through mid-20s, maybe even late 20s if they can catch them. And they can with the comic shows.
Yeah, and you're not wrong. I just think when you say, and you're right about the smash hit, I think they set their expectations stupidly high.
But it's in the same way, we've talked about CBS, for example, who has all these cop procedurals that we don't give a shit about.
Right.
You know what I mean? But why do they keep making them, and why do they have 15 of them? Because boomers watch them. Because
America.
America, that's right.
You know,
America.
Like, I'm in my mid-30s, but my grandparents and my parents, those that are still, you know what I mean, for folks that still have them around, they like that kind of programming. I mean, it's that Murder, She Wrote crowd. You know what I mean?
Cracker Barrel, CBS. And that's what
they've got 15 billion versions of it to watch now, and they dig that.
Don't bring Cracker Barrel into this. They did nothing wrong to you.
Yeah, they did. They serve shitty food. You have to be 60 there.
Hey. Their chicken fried chicken's pretty goddamn excellent.
That's cannibalism, sir. All right. So here's the quote, though, about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's, the show has a loyal, passionate base. It does incredibly well in delayed viewing and made it clear that the upcoming season is not envisioned as a series ender. However, liar, liar, pants on fire, I've believed studio heads before, and then they come out with the exact opposite of what they said, and I'm like, why would you say that? And all you guys are like, oh, poor Charles, you should know, they just say shit to get you off the track.
Well, now here's what I think could happen. They could spin something off. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. itself is a little bit bloated at this point, you know what I mean? You've had this many seasons. You've had all these characters, all these storylines and everything. If you were to chunk that down to a couple of the key characters and split them off and do something new, that could be an entirely different beast. And that could have some new, you know, fresh legs. It could be either take some of the characters that exist on the show and do, you know, do a smaller show with them, or it could be introduce some new characters next season and then spin them into something.
And honestly, what I was saying about, well, I did say short on Netflix, and that was directly for the show. But what I was really thinking is go the Constantine route and have the characters show up, the actors as the characters show up in other Marvel branded properties.
Possibly.
As cameos or whatever, you know. I don't know. I mean, I'm okay with it. You know what? Let's do what we did with the MCU. Whedon, you had your time. Move on. Let's bring in the Russo brothers. A Russo brothers, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that's going to kill, right?
I still wouldn't watch it.
Yeah,
I think watch Infinity War. You'd watch it.
I think it's just time to put it to bed.
Yep. Yeah.
Put it to bed. Try something new. There's lots more stories to tell, especially like what you're looking to target with a TV show. You're looking to tell the street level stories.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's actually one of the things that maybe Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of screwed up on is they tried to get too big and too epic with these storylines, though still being in the constraint where they can't change the whole world. You know, I mean, they did the Inhuman storyline where it's supposed to have changed the whole world, and the MCU films don't acknowledge Inhumans at all.
Yeah, the Disney fucked that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's like this huge world-altering event where they release all this stuff in the atmosphere and change all these people into Inhumans, and your mainline films don't address it as having happened at all.
At all. Not even a passing reference, yeah. So under the canceled list is Alex Inc. If you've never heard of it, that's because you've never heard of it. What, Phil?
I actually watched episode 1 2 days ago, and holy shit, it's a good thing I don't own a gun, because I would have blown my fucking brains out. It was absolutely a fucking atrocious.
Okay, so when I heard Zach Braff and podcasting, I'm like, I have hope, because Zach Braff, I enjoyed his work on...
I'm a Scrubs fan, man. I'm a big Scrubs fan.
I've enjoyed some of his directing indie stuff.
I love Garden State, man. It's one of those...
I don't want to be presumptive here, but I have a feeling there's a reason why Zach Braff hasn't shown up in anything in a while.
Well, yes, and this show is exactly why, because they do the same format as Scrubs, where he has an inner monologue and goes around doing quirky, silly shit, and it just it doesn't work anymore because he's like fucking 80 years old.
And they took on podcasting, and even the podcast community is like, has anybody watched this? And we all went, no, because we just don't. I saw the previews. Dude.
He had to dip into his 401k to start his podcasting. Just like,
dumb. Who fucking
what?
Shit.
Fucking grab a $70 mixing board and a fucking microphone, and you're out $100. Like
at best.
Fuck off.
Klotz, designated survivor is gone, my friend.
Yeah, I was just going to comment on that. You know, the thing is, I was a fan of that show initially. So for the folks at home who don't really know what it's about, long story short, what's his name?
Kiefer Sutherland
is a cabinet member. He's, I think he was like urban development. Or something, yeah, urban development. So he's a low-level cabinet member. Is like basically as low on the totem pole as you could get. He's the designated survivor when the State of the Union goes on and the Capitol building gets bombed and blows up and kills literally every high-ranking cabinet member and every single senator. And, you know, like, they're literally like two politicians left alive from the Senate or Congress and him. So he becomes president of the United States of America. What was cool about it, and one of the things that I liked about it, is it came out kind of in the midst of the election cycle of 2016. And it was, to me, and I'm not going to get into politics here, but basically his character is he's a presidential figure that you can look up to. But he has his flaws. You know what I mean? Like he's a little bit soft initially. He's not willing to make the hard calls right away. But he kind of slides into that eventually. But anyways, the big thing is it was presenting a alternate version of present day where we had a president that was cautious and genuinely cared about a lot of issues, but was still facing a lot of the same problems that our current politicians face. But then it had a whole subplot of like this terrorism, possibly like deep state type thing going on. And that's where it lost me, is the subplot got a little too crazy. And the show quickly stopped being about what it was originally about. It became less West Wing and more, I don't know, like Homeland, but not quite the same, because it's an ABC primetime show. You know what I mean? So it's not getting into the nitty gritty of what it needs to get into.
Yeah, and apparently it lost a lot of people on that.
Well, I mean, it's politics, and he's a liberal politician. You're going to split people immediately. The audience is immediately going to be like, oh no. Like, even people who might even agree with it are like, I'm not watching more politics right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, that's going to hard sell currently when all you get is bombarded with politics all the time. Yep. Currently in our state of what's going on.
But what I'm not upset about.
What?
Is Marvel's Inhumans officially getting canceled.
Don't tell Phil. Phil will cry. Don't fucking tell Phil.
No. Are they going to put down that dog now?
They shot him with a metaphysical bullet. He's over. People who like soap operas that are Disney themed, Once Upon a Time is getting canceled as well.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
A little surprising.
I thought that was doing better. Well, you know, it's been out for a while though. So
been out for a very long while, and dude, you want to talk about how Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. felt like two different seasons? It's felt like five different shows. I watched the first couple of seasons, the first story arc, and got to the end, and basically they reset it and started a whole new story arc of, oh no, we wiped everybody's memory and it started over.
Oh, I hate that kind of shit.
And they changed everything. And then my wife's been watching it to kill time, and they kind of, her and the kids kind of enjoy it. They're not huge fans, but they'll watch it. Mm-hmm. And I walked through, I'm like, what is going on now? Well, they basically did it a third time.
It's sad because it's got great actors on it. You know what I mean? Like I've watched a couple minutes here and there, like when I've been at somebody's house and it pops up, you know what I mean? And I'll be like, oh, that scene was okay. You know what I mean? But I like a lot of the people that are in it. But yeah, I mean, it had its audience. We should note that the way this article, we're pulling this from a HuffPo article.
Yeah.
And the way it's structured is the canceled category is also / ended. So some of these things might be done
just at the end of their story. Yeah.
Right. They might just be at the end of their planned run, or, you know, whether it was planned ahead of time or it's just finalized now. So not all of this necessarily means you're just going to get left, you know, mid story. I mean, Inhumans. Sorry, guys. We're not going to know what happens.
We didn't even get to start mid story with you. We got shit.
I loved it. I saw it in IMAX 4 times.
You did. You liar. I'm excited on CBS for one thing, Elementary. I dig the shit out of Johnny, and it's amazing what he does there. And
God, this CBS list is,
I know, disgusting. Reality shows and old people shit, right? That's all this is.
The only thing that's not just more of reality shows and old people shit is MacGyver and Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah,
that's been going for a while. We're still watching that.
And the canceled list is
so short. Many NCISs.
Yeah, I know. Right. So Fox, go on. Renewed, no surprise. Bob's Burgers, Empire, Family Guy is all back. The Gifted is back. That's a little bit of a surprise, but not a huge one, because it did, I don't know, but when I say it did really well, I mean everybody I talked to enjoyed it if they saw it.
The story was solid.
Yeah,
I think they've got something to work with. They've got a lot of great people on that cast is the thing that I really like.
Yeah, I agree. So
people are putting in solid work.
The only surprise there is that Fox tends to cancel stuff that people like, Firefly, and they tend to
get over Firefly. It's been so long.
No, how's that?
Get hockey over it.
How's that hockey work out for you this year, Phil?
Get over it.
So. Never forget, Browncoats forever.
Browncoats forever, bitch. The Gifted is there. Gotham, and we talked about that fifth and final season. So you'll at least, if you follow it, you'll at least get a wrap up to the stories.
You'll get your conclusion.
Yeah, but
I've been meaning to catch up on that because I do like Gotham, but it's like, it lost me, man. I think we talked about this last year. just one of those seasons, like all of a sudden they're like, they built up to this thing. And then the next thing I know, Jim's not a cop anymore and he's a criminal and things are going fucking crazy. And I'm like,
yeah,
this isn't what I signed up for. Like this is, this is very different.
They made
Poison Ivy suddenly turn into a sex bomb, you know, like young woman.
They took her from like 14 to 21.
Yeah. Ooh. Or like literally in an episode, like they're just like, bam.
It's an aging power thing that was used on her, blah, blah, blah. But it is weird. And that's the season I'm in, Klotz. And I will ultimately probably will finish it out slowly. Like when I go to shave, I'll put up my phone and put up Netflix. If it goes, hey, you hadn't watched this in a while. All right, I'll watch that for 15, 20
minutes. Well, yeah. I mean, if you're somebody who's slow rolling a show like Gotham, you know, you now know that there's going to be a conclusion.
Yeah.
And you can take it at your own pace. And that's good as a, you know, a fan of it. Not good if you wanted to see another 10, you know, seasons, but that's just not going to happen.
This one struck me as semi-controversial in today's society where we're having just tons of this whole outing of sexism, right? And the sex scandals in Hollywood and all the bullshit that went on, we've covered over the last year. Not that this is sexism, but Last Man Standing, he is all about, I'm a man's man and I can't deal with women. It's very, the jokes are lackluster and the guys make fun of girls type of humor. And it's just Tim Allen's time has passed, in my opinion. And it was canceled by ABC. And, oh, look, it's been picked up.
Of course Fox would pick it up.
Yeah, I don't.
You know what? Why. Can we talk about something that's kind of crazy? Look at how easy it is now for a show to jump networks. This used to happen. Like, that's a relatively the last few years, maybe.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah. It's just crazy that we live in that kind of world now where every time you see your favorite show gets canceled, it's no, like what happened to Firefly probably wouldn't happen to a show of that quality today.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
If Firefly was on Fox last season and people liked it like they did,
what
would happen is Netflix or Amazon or somebody would pick it up.
Now we'll see, because we might have another Firefly situation on our hands.
We've got the Orville coming back.
That's good news. I'm a little interested about the Lethal Weapon renewed, because apparently they're recasting Murtaugh.
Yeah. Riggs.
Or Riggs, sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
Apparently, my family and I love Lethal Weapon. The movie series, I had all my older kids watch it, and then the TV
show. Tool for this shit.
Yeah. And the TV show has been excellent. It's really fun. And it's interesting for – it's kind of a comedy procedural without – I don't know. Just watch it if you want to watch it, okay? I'm not going to worry about it. But it has the heart and soul of the movies in it. Apparently, the actor who plays Riggs, who's very much an alcoholic, he's very much bucking societal norms, and he gets in trouble a lot. Apparently, the actor's way too much like that, because he's been fired for his on-set antics, and they just can't put up with it anymore. They're bringing in – Stifler to replace him as his brother Riggs.
Brother Riggs.
Yeah. So Sean Michaels.
William Scott.
Thank you. I knew I had it wrong. He's coming in to, we'll see what happens, but he's coming in to do that. So yeah.
I saw Lethal Weapon 1 for the first time 3 weeks ago.
Really?
And?
Would not recommend.
Bill. Are you shitting me?
No.
Lethal Weapon is an artifact of a bygone era.
It was
great at the time, but...
The best thing about that movie is Gary Busey.
All right. They're not classics. They're not going to be on AFI's Top 100. But when you're 12 and you watch that shit, it holds up when you're...
Well, 15. Just because there's boobs in the first 5 minutes, Charles, I mean...
What?
Is that all you need
out of a movie? I literally...
There's also only like one black person in the entire movie.
Oh, okay, so now we're moving on. Canceled Last Man on Earth, which was the dumbest
Did that show get this far?
I know.
I've watched a lot of it. Last Man on Earth is the comedy that I keep watching to try to understand why people watch it.
No, I got through most of the first season of like, this is bullshit.
And do you know why? Because I like Will Forte and I love post-apocalyptic stuff. And that's the old, I'm just like, I just like the premise, but like it gets so fucking absurd. And then it becomes like Curb Your Enthusiasm for me, where the cringe is so high that I'm just like, I'm paralyzed by it. I'm like, I can't change the channel or turn this off because like it's so cringy.
Did you actually say change the channel? Like you watch shit
you know
podcast?
Hulu, you pop out and you pick something
else. Lucifer got canceled.
I heard there's some upset fans out there about that one.
My boy Johnny's upset.
I don't follow it, but I enjoy it, and I'll probably wrap out the
I will probably consume it at some point. It's going to be one of those shows I go back to in the future.
It's a fun watch. It's bingeable because you can just go, I'll do other stuff while this is going on. And there's some good moments. There's some weird moments. It's, yeah. The Mick, I enjoyed it, but I didn't think it was going to last. New Girl, Zoe Deschanel is finally losing. That's why I watched like the first five seasons religiously and then just.
I haven't watched recently, but I feel like it's probably just wrapping up the story.
It is wrapping up. Yeah. They didn't get canceled. They're just done.
Yeah, it's one of those deals where can you go?
You can only do a comedy, a comedy, you know, 20-something drama for so long. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Before it just, it's like, yeah, okay, they all get married off and settle down and, you know, they can't be crazy and wild kids anymore. You know, it's just not practical. Yeah.
And I would say it's probably on this generation, it's probably on par with Friends when I was growing up. So as far as the fandom, and it's good.
Way funnier, though, to be fair. I mean, New Girl
is great. I agree.
At its heights, it's really great.
Nope.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Wayward Pines. Didn't realize that was a thing to be canceled because it was like a summer special. 2 years. The first one was excellent, although they left some major fucking questions.
Yeah, I didn't know Wayward Pines was still on.
Yeah, well, that's my thing. It's like, wait, isn't Wayward Pines like a
retirement home?
In the summertime, maybe. I enjoyed both runs, but it's very dark. You can't go very far. And honestly, my biggest gripe with it, and it's been 2 years now, so fuck you if you haven't seen it. There's a scene in the first series about two or three episodes in where you're still figuring out all the mysteries. And this goddamn tentacle comes out and grabs this dude and pulls him out. Never addressed. That's like you pretend it never happened.
Lost with the mist monster.
Smoke monster.
You had to wait like three seasons to get an answer on what the fuck happened.
Now, here's the shocker / non-shocker. The shocker holy shit, it's back on TV. Holy shit, it's gone again. X-Files is out. That's no more X-Files. Yeah. I love it, man. I forgot that to check it because I've gotten so goddamn busy in the last couple of months, but I like it.
I heard bad things. Like, I heard bad things about this season that just happened. And
maybe I haven't gotten to the bad things yet.
I kind of – well, because from what I understand – and sorry if I'm spoiling this for anyone, but, like, my understanding is they basically retconned most of the most emotionally impactful stuff from the original run.
No.
And honestly, I have no idea because I cannot remember.
Like, basically all the storylines with their kid and that all that kind of stuff. And then, like, yeah, it was this whole thing. Like, I heard the cliff notes of it, and I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me because that is what made the end of X-Files worthwhile.
Yep.
Because you had to go through the first several years was that Monster of the Week bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With a little bit of Sister sprinkled in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, yeah, I honestly think that
Samantha,
I think they would have been better served with X-Files to come back with a plan of, like, we're going to do one season of, like, 10 episodes. It's going to be a cohesive story. It's going to pick up where we left off or update to the story to where we are now. We're going to answer some of the unanswered questions and move on. You know, just be done with it.
I would have even enjoyed, like, just a 5-episode story arc.
Sure.
You know, just a 5 episodes over, you know, a story stretched over that and then just said, see you later, we're done.
Well, yeah, adios. I mean, that's fair because as much as I like Rhys Darby, that episode he was in for the first season, the mini season they came back, it was a completely pointless fucking episode.
It was a great episode.
It was a great, you're right.
It was fun.
But Kumail's in it.
You're both right. It had nothing to do with anything.
No, but I mean, Rhys Darby is so adorable.
Yeah.
Bad meeting?
To Be Determined is Ghosted, and L.A. to Vegas. Both are cheesy, fun comedies.
L.A. to Vegas is a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
It's not great, but it makes me laugh.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Ghosted is that Adam Scott show, correct?
Uh-huh. Oh, no. Again, guilty pleasure. Not great, but it really makes me laugh.
Poor Adam Scott.
All right, CW. Everything You Think Me is renewed. Everything You Think Is Going to Be Canceled is canceled. Life Sentence, Original, and Valor are out. Everything else is in. That's how that works on CW. And that
pretty much really everything CW's else got renewed. Damn.
Pretty now, much.
One of the good new pieces of news here is iZombie did get renewed because that was on the chopping block.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's also going to hit syndication. So,
after this year, it might not be renewed, but. Yeah,
right. I would not expect another season after this one. And iZombie's one of my guilty pleasures, man. I enjoy the shit out of that show. I like the characters. I like the chemistry.
So does my niece.
Yeah, so does my daughter.
Well, I mean, last season had an episode where the best friend, they were wearing like leather outfits and the dominatrix outfits, and the best friend was spanking the main character's ass with a fly swatter. So, I mean, there's moments, man.
I need to talk to my sister.
The insight to Klotz's mind is stifling.
Listen, I'm a simple man with simple. No, I'm kidding.
So,
he's just looking for somebody to put 50% of the profit in, and then we can just mail it back and forth.
So, Gambit's still a thing? Okay. Apparently, they're like, yeah, we got an August 2019 launch date, and oh, but we lost our director, Gore Verbinski, left again, or not again. They lost another director, this time being Gore Verbinski. But Channing Tatum still excited. Okay. I don't know, man. They have no director. They got no showrunner right now.
Whatever.
So. Hasn't this movie been pushed two or three times already?
The first time they lost their direction, they started from scratch. All from scratch. And now they lost the director again. And it's supposed to hit, I'm sorry, it's got a July or June release date, and New Mutants has got the August release date. You know, New Mutants went from.
I would be shocked.
Yeah.
If Gambit actually gets filmed on time.
Yeah. This time. I don't think it's going to make it. I don't think it's going to make it.
In other news of significantly more substance, Kathleen Kennedy basically confirmed that the next side film for Star Wars is going to be the Lando film.
Nice.
Now, nice. Solo did have its premiere, and friend of the network, Audrey Kearns, and her husband were in attendance. I have not talked to them about what they thought of it, other than I believe they did post something to the affirmative that it was good.
Yeah, they loved it.
Early buzz is really strong, which is good because, you know, Phil and I have been going back and forth about how concerned we are. And I suspect that for Kathleen Kennedy to say something like that, like basically she said, nothing's concrete right now, but it's happening. And that's just a paraphrase, by the way.
Sure. Well, it would be dumb not to. I mean, with how fucking fast Gambino's career is just exploding right now, it would be stupid not to try to capitalize on his hot streaks. So
yeah, he just put out that single, This is the Empire.
No, it's This is Republic.
This is the Republic. I'm sorry. I love his story about how his first Star Wars toy was a Lando Calrissian figure, and when he heard that they were even making rumors about making a Han Solo film and that Lando might be in it, he told his agent, "I have to play that role." And of course, us being fans and on the internet in general said, "You're born for that role, sir. Absolutely, you get that role."
I think he's one of the few people, prominent people in Hollywood right now, that can carry the swagger that you need to play Lando.
Yeah.
And the charm at the same time. And I suspect that's why she was willing to say this openly, because I imagine they got great results out of him. You know what I mean? And that's something I've been saying for months. I've been like, listen, if this film is literally the trash compactor from one end to the other, I'm positive that Lando will be the shining moment in the middle of it, no matter what. So,
yeah.
Or shining paragon in the middle. I don't know.
It's going to be amazing. And I will say, I try to avoid trailers, but when you go to theaters to see things, trailers. And they did the new Solo trailer. And as soon as I saw it, I was going to be like, ugh. The new trailer? Maybe go, all right, maybe it'll be decent. The previous trailers just made me think it's going to be hot trash. The newest trailer is cutting away. Like, I'm kind of interested now, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I'm still interested, and I am going to go see it. It's just like, to me, it feels like there is no stakes because we know everybody survives. You know, yeah. We're not going to lose Han or Chewie. Well,
yeah, we're not going to lose Han, Chewie, or Lando.
Orlando. So it's – well, we lose a piece of the Falcon apparently, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
That cargo bay?
I'm still going to see it, but, you know, I will go in with high hopes and hopefully come out better than I did after Rogue One.
I mean – honestly, first of all, you're wrong about Rogue One, even though it's been 2 years since we did panel. Honestly, the big thing is, I think a lot of people have always wanted to see a chance to have Han and Chewie and Lando do a Rogue film. You know, like do that, the smuggler film. That's what we're going to get. You know, good, bad, or ugly, you're going to get to see him have misadventures on the side in a way that would never work out in the main line, you know what I mean, the main film. So I think that'll be a lot of a wish fulfillment in that regard for a lot of people, and that's got some weight, you know?
Well, so. It is nice that Benicio del Toro and I had it and I lost it. Doesn't matter now. It'd have been funny if I hadn't lost it, but House of Cards guy.
Kevin Spacey?
Yeah, they had a kid, and he finally gets to have an acting career. Because that's exactly what I see every time I see that dude's face, is Kevin Spacey and Benicio del Toro had a baby.
And Charles, you say that you've worked in the medical industry for many years, but do we have to have a conversation?
Science?
About biology?
No, but we do have to have a conversation about Stan Lee. So his former, yeah, you know, because we're all interested. We want to know what's going to happen with the king of comics, you know, the Lord Supreme, as it were. And
it's good to be the king.
It is, and we want him to be happy and have a life that he wants to have. And
family program doesn't want him to be happy.
He's suing Powell Entertainment, his former company, for $1 billion, saying that basically two or three high-end executives conspired to steal his likeness and tricked him into signing a contract. The lawsuit stems back to when Powell Entertainment was sold in 2017 to a Chinese company, Camsing. According to Stan Lee, he did not know the terms of the deal as they were not disclosed to him. He was distraught from his wife's failing health at the time and suffered from vision loss, which we know to be true as well, from macular degeneration. He doesn't recall anyone reading the documents, and he could not do so himself. He signed contracts saying basically they could use Stan Lee's name, his likeness, all his work exclusively. They own him, basically. Now, he either was or still is a huge shareholder, but they have exclusive rights to his name, image, and likeness is what it is. His name, image, and likeness is what Powell Entertainment has. So he's seeking $1 billion in damage right now. And, of course, Powell, actually, for once, somebody has responded. And they responded and said his allegations are complete without merit. He absolutely knew what he was signing. We're going to prove it in court, type down. We believe that he's not behind it, that his daughter's behind it. So the quote is, there's no question Mr. Lee, who along with his daughter, was and remains a substantial Powell shareholder, clearly understood the terms of the agreement he signed. The evidence, which includes his subsequent statements and conduct, is overwhelming. We look forward to presenting it in court. Either way, I think it's kind of shitty to own
a human
assets of somebody. Yeah.
Yeah, that shouldn't be a thing.
And yeah. You know,
I'm very much against that, Charles.
I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. So, you guys. But that's the update on what's going on with Stan Lee. Jesus, man.
I hate that we have to do a Stan Lee story like once a month.
Yeah, that's why I said, you know, do we have to talk about this?
Yeah, it just breaks my heart.
I'm hoping that we're like, oh, remember when we did all those bad stories? Here's the happy ending of this. Here's the happy ending of that.
Not sure that there's a happy ending, man.
No.
It might not be.
I don't think we're going to know the truth until he sadly passes, honestly. Yeah. It's hard to say what is going on. It's hard to say who's really at the reins. You know what I mean? Like who is steering that ship? I'm mixing metaphors, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. No, I got you.
Is it the daughter? It's weird to make the argument that you're not, like, this court case is like basically saying like, I wasn't in the right place to make a commitment like that, or I didn't know what I was committing to or whatever. And that's valid. But then like that brings into question everything you've done since then as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. But you would think that he would also have a legal team that would be reading these contracts for him.
Well, one of the allegations is that the legal team is conspiring, you know what I mean, with whoever.
I mean, maybe it's that same law. Didn't a lawyer get fired?
Yeah.
6 months ago?
He fired his lawyer of, like, forever.
Who forever. Knows, man.
I hate it. I hate every second of this.
I'm with you. What I'm loving is still he's got, like, 13 or 14 cameos already pre-recorded to be put into – future films. So I'm loving that. So although I'm loving that, I hate that Powell apparently gets on that apparently right now. That's just, it's not right. But at the same time, don't sign shit you don't understand, and somebody should have protected it. If he truly couldn't read it and didn't know, and I give you, man, he was married to his wife forever and she was dying during that time.
Yeah.
That is no time to be signing any goddamn.
No, that's not a time to make big decisions, you know?
Yeah, it was, even if it's all on the up and up, it was done and handled poorly. And even though it might not be illegal or even unethical, you fucked him and you know you did. Because you don't bring shit like that to a man whose wife's dying after 50, 60, whatever years of being
together. Forever.
Forever. Yeah. That's a lifetime. They were together longer than either one of them had been separated.
Yeah. They were together longer than any of us have been alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's when you think about it in a term like that, and you think of everything that you've done in your life, all the time you've spent with people, and then you know what I mean? The various people that you love, maybe the people you hate, you know how it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, I spent a lot of time with Phil and I regret it, but you know, it is what it is. But then you think about it being with the person that you love and you wanted to be with for all that time, and it's longer than our lifespan. That's kind of daunting. You know what I mean? So it's nuts. Definitely not the time to be making deals, though.
All right. Well, we're going to step away, make our own deals, and come back, and maybe we'll still own our own souls when we get back. Tune in. We got some more fun stuff after this. Trust me, it'll be a lot more fun than what we just went through. We'll be back.
With all these great television shows being canceled, I fear that Breaking the Panel is next. Could you even imagine a world without BTP in it? Sweet blissness. But with your help, we could stay on the airwaves until the day comes where I kill myself. Just head on over to patreon.com/breakingthepanel and just give us your tip. Oh boy, that's not what I meant. We're gonna keep it. We also have Discord groups and raw uncut video of us doing it. The show. We're doing the show, that is. Also, you get exclusive panels. If you want to hear us bitch about how great Solo was, it's the only place you're going to get it. It's patreon.com/breakingthepanel. Thanks for your support and help keep the lights on.
And we're back, and we've got some interesting things to bandy about. All three of us play Marvel Strike Force, and as of today, Deadpool has broken the game. Yeah, I know. You're trying to load it. If you don't play this game, now's a great time to get in, more or less. And you can check out our show when you do, FDH Beyond, at GiantSizeTeamUp.com and on Twitch.tv/FDHBeyond. I can't get the game to load. I got load earlier and got into the Deadpool missions. Everything in this game has been changed to Deadpool. They are taking his character to the next level. It's awesome. But as Agent Frank said, hey, Mrs. Frank, we miss you. We wish you'd be awkward again and write us.
All right, Creeper. Keep going.
Yeah,
Wink, wink, nod, nod. Moving on. Agent Frank did actually say in our Discord, like, they're taking the meta of Deadpool way too far by having them crash the servers of the game. So I've gotten load slightly, but then it kept having an anomaly. Now it's going back to server maintenance again. Stuck at 42% because, you know, that's the loading screen of life, the universe, and everything else. And but it's going to be interesting and fun once they do smooth it. I got to tell you, I played with Deadpool for a good 30 minutes before the game crashed. They have knocked it out of the park. But that's what's going on.
Yeah, the writing is hilarious.
Yes.
And I had to actually screenshot one of the comments that he made because he finished a mission and somebody said, like, your hostage is in another warehouse. And he said, what? Do I look like an Italian plumber to you? So I found that pretty
funny. It's, you would.
Yeah. Yep. I took a picture and put it in our Discord for FGH Beyond. And I was smiling so hard, I actually hurt my jaw. I was like, I was a little schoolgirl. I was so giddy. It just is so good. So you can check that out. Wait till maybe, well, by the time the show comes out, it should be
so
good.
What you're saying is you were so excited about Deadpool that your jaw hurt afterwards?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I am.
Okay.
I am indeed. I am.
I'm not judging. I just find it very peculiar.
Do not Deadpool shame me, sir. How dare you?
I would never shame you for the pool. I'll shit on your other terrible tastes like Transformers, but not Deadpool.
Yeah, I love.
Deadpool is a level of shitty that everybody should wallow in.
And we'll talk about all that tomorrow for sure. But yeah, it's so good. And the movie's coming out so soon.
Yeah, next week will be the the panel. So
you guys already have plans on when you're gonna go see Deadpool?
Yeah, looking like going Saturday myself.
Nice. I'm probably going Sunday after a Dragon Con meeting.
Cool. So I'm going tomorrow. No, we worked it out where me, Dennis, and the wife are just going to drop the kid off somewhere.
Aren't you just being redundant when you say Dennis, the wife?
Shots fired.
Hey, congratulations. You got me. You got me, Charles.
I give that a 7 out of 10.
Would not recommend.
Go check out the Last Jedi panel.
No. Unless you want to set 3 hours of your life on fire and never see it.
I'm telling you, you'll love it. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely worth my time.
So, yeah, we're going as soon as we can.
Oh, it's fun. I'm excited. Suzanne's now entered this thing that you do as well, where she doesn't watch any trailers past the first one. She's embargoed herself off of any kind of reviews and tomato scores.
Good for her.
And, since I have to stay up on top of all this shit, unfortunately I can't, but if I want to do my job properly, Mr. McPhail, then I have to be in the know.
Tomato scores tell you jack and shit. So there.
No, but I have to watch the trailers and read articles. Anyway, so it's pretty cool because she goes in really not knowing anything, and she says she enjoys the movie more.
I tell you, ignorance is bliss. It is so much
better. You've lived your entire life. Away.
And here I am looking younger than both of you two fucks put together. Knockoff games. Clotta needs some education, my friend. I was playing a game.
Take that up with your daddy, but go on.
I thought you were my daddy.
That's not that kind of show. And you can come see us at Dragon Con this year, but we will not be at that kind of party.
Not that kind of party.
Well,
no. So
I'll be at that party.
I don't know. I was playing some game that's full of ads and whatever, and it's fine because I'm playing free games, whatever. And this game came out that looks like Pokemon, except it's called Pocket Era. And like, was this a ripoff? And so I'm like, skip. And then the next ad was that again. And I mean, it looks phenomenal. I'm like, no, that's absolutely. There's not like a cross eye. There's not like a freckle on his cheek. That's Charizard. That's Pikachu. And it was like playing the anime. The animation looks great. That's what grabbed me. Because I'm not really a Pokemon fan. I was like, the animation looks great. I'm gonna. I know. I do a show called Pokemon Go Podcast. I'm here to not violate the terms of my contract. I'm not a huge Pokemon fan. I do what I do, and I do it well. But I don't play the other games.
Debatable.
So, I'm like, I want to check this out because maybe they just named it something different. And it is in an Asian language. I couldn't tell you if it's Chinese or Japanese or whatever. It's all – the words are in it. Shut up, fuckers. I'm asking Klotz because Klotz plays a lot of Japan.
It's a game from those people, right?
You're not getting the screen tonight. You're those, not getting it.
Those Orientals, as you would say.
That's horrible. You are so. You deserve a chair thrown at you, sir.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. But that would be the word you would use to describe the.
No, I've never said that at all. So, my question is to you, Klotz. This isn't the actual iOS store approved. It's got ads on other approved games.
Uh-huh.
It's gorgeous. It's absolutely – it's got Ash Ketchum. It's got all – I mean, they call them Pokemon, everything. This is not done by Nintendo. This okay. doesn't look – I threw it at our Pokemon group, of course, for the show. And Joe's like, no, I think this is a knockoff. I thought it was a knockoff too, but I'm telling you, man. They don't even say Poopachu. It's literally Pikachu, exactly how it's spelled on the thing. They call them What's Pokemon.
What's the game Pocket, called?
Pocket Era. And so I thought at first that, hey, perhaps it's a translation thing. Like, it actually is a licensed game that's an Asian game that we just happen to have here. All the research I did, which wasn't much, but all the research I did says this is a knockoff game.
Uh-huh.
My question to you is, how does this get into official iOS and Android stores with big launches and gets pushed? And apparently, from what I can read, it's not licensed at all.
I don't actually know, to be honest. I mean, this is the kind of thing you can just grab it off the App Store.
I don't bootleg anything. I mean, if anything, I become a different citizen of country to still legitimately get the game.
That counts as bootlegging, Charles. Like, let's not mince words.
I don't sideload. I get it legit through the store.
I imagine that this is probably not going to be around forever.
Yeah, I was just about to say, how long has it been up there on the App Store? Do you have any idea?
I might can find out though.
It'll probably need to get enough reports to hit a certain threshold to get reviewed by somebody before it gets killed.
And that's honestly a little sad because it's very well done. Somebody called it a knockoff of Summoner Wars meets Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And what I played Summoner Wars for like 5 minutes, and I played it enough to go, yeah, no, this has those aspects. It's actually, like I said, the animation is phenomenally good. I'm enjoying. So smooth, it looks great, and the gameplay is fun enough. And I don't know if I'd play it for a while. I was like, this is sad that this is a total possible ripoff. Version 1.1 was 2 weeks ago, so presumably 1.0 was before that.
I don't know how long this is going to be around. It does happen. It happens on Steam once in a while. It usually requires the company that holds the IP to go directly to the provider, you know,
do a cease and desist kind of thing.
Yeah, basically. And basically be like, they are infringing our copyright. We're not okay with this. It happens though. There's a lot of games, knockoff games that come out of Asia that do the same kind of thing. I mean, let me rephrase that. Most of them come out of Asia. There's a few that come out of Eastern Europe and other places. Basically, places that have lax intellectual property laws where they know that they're not going to get headhunted, you know what I mean, by gotcha. Local government, where they're probably just going to get a slap on the wrist and told to stop causing problems, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a lot of this kind of stuff, it probably has a foreign language version that is in a marketplace where it's going to sit for a while. And this is probably a localized version that is basically, it's a pump and dump. You know what I mean? They're going to throw something like this out there. They're going to let people jump in. They're going to let people throw money at it if it has microtransactions.
Oh, it's got a ton of microtransactions.
Yeah, and then they're just going to walk away. And you know, if it can still thrive in the Asian markets, like if it doesn't get shut down hard in like China or any place like that, they can make bank forever off of it, and they can keep putting it up with different names or whatever if they're slick about it,
right,
in the West, and cash in for a couple of weeks, maybe a month or two, and then it'll get shut down. They really don't care. I mean, that's the thing.
And I'm looking at the App Store, and all the advertisements on the App Store are not obvious Pokemon. I mean, it just isn't.
Sure.
The advertisement absolutely was, and it's called Pocket Era Next Gen Monster Battle Game.
So the game itself, does it have the actual Pokemon in the game?
Oh, yeah. No, you start with literally Charizard, and then you get Squirtle, then you get Bulbasaur. Wow. Pikachu meets you, Professor Bitchin. I forget what the hell his name is.
Birch.
I mean, and they call him Birch. Yeah, Professor Birch.
There's no copyright on tree names. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean,
as a concept, it might be copyrighted, but it'd be a hard, you know.
But, I mean, they call them Pokemon as P-O-K-E-M-O-N. Pokemon.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy. And it's fun.
I'm looking at a little bit of gameplay footage here on a site called Up to Down that's got the Android Marketplace. Mm-hmm. And it looks like everything's a recolor, like that they're not the actual same colors as the traditional Pokemon, but they do look like Pokemon.
Maybe. I know Charizard's orange, Bulbasaur's green.
That's the thing, though. If they're straight up using the names...
Yeah.
That's kind of wild. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And Pikachu shows up and says Pika a lot. And it's yellow with the red cheeks. I mean, there's no way you changed enough. This is not Saviors of the Universe, my friend. It's not even close.
They
ripped this. I mean, it is straight up. That's what made me download. I was like, no, maybe I just, again, giving it the benefit of the doubt at the time, was maybe it's just a translation thing. Right, because I know they're pocket monsters. They're not called Pokemon necessarily in Japan. It's pocket monsters. So if you call it Pocket Era. Pokemon
short for you.
Yeah, and maybe it's a thing. And when I hit, you know, load it, hit go, it's probably Chinese. I honestly don't know the different dialects, and there's a number of them. But it's a foreign language to me with subtitles, and then everything is in English.
Yeah. Well, because I was going to say, it's also possible that it is licensed in another nation, another country.
Right.
And they might be overstepping what they're allowed to do. There's lots of different things that could be going on.
But that's why we're talking about.
You've got to be careful of some of those knockoff games. Yeah. I played, there was a Bleach game, not Bleach Brave Souls, which I've played quite a bit, which is a legitimately licensed game. But there was another one called Spiritual Awakening, I think it's called, and it's a Bleach game though, based on the anime, and it has it had a knockoff version out that beat them to the Western market by a couple weeks, so a lot of people were playing it for a couple weeks before the real one came out. Gotcha. And they both have really bad localization translations, so it's hard to tell which is the legit one. That was kind of wild, because I was like, damn, I don't know that this is official, you know what I mean? But one of them is official, and the other one is the same freaking game, just released under a different company. With virtually no changes. They just straight up jacked the whole thing. So I don't know. It's crazy. There's a lot of apps, though. You got to keep that in mind. There's a ton of apps nowadays. People are uploading stuff all the time. There's probably more things getting added to the marketplace on a day-to-day basis than there are enough people to look at it all. So,
yeah.
And you can easily structure, not to give people advice on how to do this, but you could easily structure a game so that you could play it for the first X amount of time and never bump into any of the issues that would be copyright infringement. That's the way I would probably do it if I were looking to do something like this. Not that I ever really would. But, you know, theoretically.
Yeah. And I can see where a lot of this thing is done by algorithms and bots to kick it out. So they specifically, that's why I noticed just now, they specifically, in none of the writing, which is the easiest thing for algorithm to check, mm-hmm. none of the writing has Pokemon or anything trademark in it at all. It's just inside the game itself, which makes it more difficult to automatically detect.
Sure.
I can't find it on the Android store, unfortunately.
When I Googled online, it said there's actually on their Facebook page, I think it says they have an official launch in Android or something. I know there's an APK, but this is in the iOS store for sure. If you like Pokemon, honestly, get in and play it for a little bit till it goes away. Don't throw any money at it.
Don't play it.
I'm going to play the shit out of it.
It's IP infringement. Don't support that shit.
Oh, yes. You are. You never pirate anything. You're right.
That's different.
Oh, okay. double standards. Don't
Deep
mean
Babylon 5.6. They don't. Never mind.
We Babylon 5.6.
Yeah. Deep Babylon 5.6. Did y'all want to talk about Niantic? I don't care. If you want to, we'll do it. If not, no. Yeah,
yo,
check out
Pokemon
Go podcast tomorrow night.
Yeah, check out that show for that game that who knows how much longer it'll be. No, I'm kidding. That's so bad.
And the one last thing that I know Dennis will be interested in that you guys might be interested in.
Oh, you think Aaron, he listens to this?
He does.
No, but you'll relay it to him. No, I know Dennis doesn't. Listen,
he does.
He does not.
He has an algorithm that runs to detect his name being said.
And he yes, but it only brings up Megan's Law.
That's a classic throwback, deep cut.
My wife and I used to do a show or have done a show, Passion Project, in the past called Ermagar, the Mashup Podcast at mashuppodcast.com. The other night, she talked me into it. Somebody hit us up on Facebook and said, hey, I just discovered this show. Will we be doing more? And she's like, you know what? That's more fun than watching TV. So we fired up the recording and started season 3, basically. And again, it's going to follow the same rules it followed before. We'll record whenever the fuck we feel like it. It's a passion project, but there's probably 50-some-odd episodes on the website.
Damn.
And it's highlighting – we've done over – this will be year 3, essentially. We've done over summer projects, basically. And
so you're definitely going to do the This Is America, Call Me Maybe mashup, right?
God, I hate that one.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. It works so well.
Technically, it's only a video that I've seen, so it doesn't fit my definition of mashup.
No, I know. I'm just
so – yeah, but I know I saw that.
It's topical.
It did fit, but no. Dude, This Is America. Oh, my God. It's not for this show, but we could discuss for an hour about that.
So that song came on the radio at the bar last night, and the whole bar just fucking lost their minds. It was wonderful.
Nice. I played it at trivia last night, and nobody noticed. I'm like, get the fuck out.
You know, it's okay. Without getting into the subject matter of the song itself, but I don't think we've had a piece of music like that in a long time that has impacted so many people quickly. It went viral immediately, and it gave literally everyone who's seen it. If you watch the video and listen to the song the first time, it gives you pause, and it's so fucking catchy, which is the worst part about it, because it's got a powerful message underneath it. You know what I mean? And again, not the show to discuss that kind of stuff, but I mean, I meme on Charles about the racist thing, but clearly Charles is not racist. That's just a running gag. But it does address race and other issues, and it's like it's having an impact. But subsequently, anything that's popular is going to get memed on hard, and there are all kinds of not mashups, but like they take the video and they sync other songs to it, and I've seen a few of them, and they're unsettling because it's like the song is so powerful and has such an important message to it that you feel like you shouldn't be laughing at Call Me Maybe while Donald Glover dances like he does in the video, you know what I mean? And it's just like, it feels like it cheapens the original a bit, but at the same time, it syncs so perfectly with so many songs, it's weird.
Yeah.
And that's what America does, is mean shit.
Which actually takes that song to a whole new level.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it doubles down on the whole premise to begin with.
What I've been blown away by on this is that I hesitate. I even waited. You know, I posted last night. Said I waited a week because I caught it first thing last Sunday morning, right after the Saturday Night Live appearance. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. I just, for whatever reason, I checked Twitter, and I never care about what's trending, but it just was right there. I'm like, oh, I'll check this out. What is this? Blew me away. Immediately went, showed a friend of mine, and he had the same exact reaction as I did. What did I just watch? And both of us, meaning in a good way, you instantly know there's something else to this. And I watched, I actually went and did some research to understand some of the the symbolism and the
and when you posted about it, somebody said, yeah. I watched it, and you said this too. Yeah. And I think this was everybody. You watch it and then you immediately hit play again. Yep. Because it's like you've gotta have a couple run throughs to process it, and then it's gonna stick in your head for a few days.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an earworm and a half. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, first of all, I think he's going to get a Grammy off that song.
He needs to.
I mean, he already just got one for Redbone, but I think he's going to get another one next year for that. I really, honestly, like, I think it's an important, example of the power of music, because it's really notable that it's the artistry of the video combined with the theme, with the song and the theme and everything.
Just listen to it. And I didn't. I experienced the video first thing, and to me, that's everything. Because for the last couple of years, I'm in places, and I'm like, can you play Taylor Swift? And I have to, like, look it up on YouTube or some shit. I'm like, why are these companies spending thousands of dollars on bullshit videos? It can't help sell that much for as much as you put into it. And then something like this comes along. It's like, no, you need the video. Mm-hmm. Just listen to the lyrics. It's hard to really pick up on what he's saying sometimes. It's like you said, it's catchy. You're not trying to hear what he's saying necessarily if you're just listening. But you watch it.
Yeah.
And then you watch it again. And then you watch. And what's blown me away is everybody, I hesitate because I'm around different types of people constantly. And y'all are memeing each other. Fuck you. But y'all are I'm around some right-wing conservatives. Mm-hmm. And it came up just randomly. And I'm not going to bring it up around them because I don't want to get in that conversation. And it came up, and they were like, oh, my God. They said the same thing we're saying, like, really? Really? Okay. So nobody I've talked to has had any kind of negativity.
Oh, I'm sure there's people out there.
Oh.
I'm sure there are.
Go to Twitter.
Yeah.
Go to Twitter.
So it's go check it out.
It's good. Good
if you're ready to take the blue pill.
It's not. Matrix. To warn you, it is a heavy topic. It deals with racism and violence and the nature of how we handle things in America. And there's no matter what your perspective politically, I don't think you can get through that video and not realize there's some truth to it.
But also not the show to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're fan
but numbers, also
but every once in a while we'll put a pin in something and say, good, just go and enlighten yourself. Sure. Because the discussion we would have would not be
for it's gonna be the thing everybody's gonna be talking about Donald Glover for a while. He just won the Grammy, a Grammy for Redbone.
I would dare say even though we lost Prince and we lost David Bowie, we got Donald Glover. And I think he's gonna rise and change. He's gonna change music, he's gonna change the world, in my opinion.
There is the potential for that.
I would like to see that happen.
Yeah.
So,
all right, Phil, where can they find you on the web?
Well, head on over to botchpodcast.com. We are a not safe for work comedy D&D podcast. We just hit 100 five-star reviews on iTunes. We'll be at Dragon Con this year. More details to come on that. I have a new show in the works. I've recorded about 3 episodes. I'll record episode 4 later on this week. We'll see what comes of that. I normally let shows get to 10 episodes before I start thinking about publishing.
Good.
But yes. We'll see. It has to do with movies. So that's just a heads up. And then
would it also have to do with meatheads? Maybe.
No. And then if you want, you can follow me on Twitter at Imaginary Nomad.
We're at 3 in the morning. You tweet about how Donald Glover is the next Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah, he's bigger than Jesus.
There you go.
Paul, what about you? Where can people find you or not find you?
You can find me on Twitter at SoapboxGSTU. I won't see it, so I hope you appreciate it. You can message the show through Facebook. I might not see that either. You can catch me in Marvel Strike Force about once a day for as long as it takes me to do my dailies and do my raids so I don't get yelled at. And yeah.
Yeah, that's where you can do raids now?
Well, I do when you're not in my lane.
I'm not even in your fucking strike team anymore, bro.
Well, that didn't stop you like a week ago when you get.
That was 2 weeks
ago. You were in the right lane, but the wrong strike team.
Well, I don't know how to read.
Do you even raid, bro? You can find me, as I said earlier, mashuppodcast.com, where a mashup, if you don't know, is where, as my wife described it one time in a very beautiful way, is where one song that loves another song makes beautiful love, and they have a little baby that's different but just like them. And so that's what you take two songs, put them together. These DJs are super talented. And actually, we've talked to two different DJs one each season so far. So those are cool interviews and fun times. And
have you ever heard of Girl Talk?
Kind of.
He was a DJ out of Pittsburgh.
So, no, I don't think so.
He would do mashups across, you know, he would mash up about 12 to 15 songs all into one.
That's so amazing when somebody can do that
and pull it off. And just, you know, through every genre. So it would be like the Fugees going into Weezer, that go into ABBA, that go into, you know, Smashing Pumpkins. It's pretty good. You should check it out.
Girl Talk. I'm going to check out Girl Talk then.
Yeah.
Dancing Rat in a Cage. I'm down.
Yeah. I got to tell you, when it's done well, it is a new form of art, in my opinion, which is why I started the show. I mean, I've been listening to mashups since 2005, I think, is when I first discovered it was a thing.
Oh, that was like Danger Mouse, like Gray Album era, right? When he mixed Metallica and
actually, it was what turned me on to mashups was Linkin Park, Jay-Z doing the live.
Oh yeah, okay, that's legit. That's legit.
And then
I say Danger Mouse because like that was such a huge thing in the music scene at the time.
Yeah.
And you know, also that obviously ultimately led to him working with a lot of other people that led to Gnarls Barkley and all kinds of other stuff. So yeah, it was a thing.
Yeah. So as these guys have met my wife and know, if you like a whole lot of ball busting and somebody won't put up my bullshit, you've got my wife there. And I truly love this music, and it's a passion project. So it's just, we find songs, we listen to them, we talk about them. That's what we do. So it is totally illegal as shit because you can't license mashup songs because there's too many elements to it. So it's just pirate radio at its best. And honestly, ever since Pump Up the Volume, that's been my dream job right there. So I'm a kid in the candy store on that show. So you can check that out. All right, we're going to be back next week to talk about Deadpool.
Two.
That's next week. So, all right, we're going to be doing the Deadpool panel, Deadpool 2. Electric Boogaloo. It's going to be awesome. And tune in to find that out. And then we're going to have Hammond Chamberlain's going to be back on soon, right after Solo comes out. So while we're not doing a panel for Solo, I promise that we could do a back half discussion.
We're probably going to do a Patreon
panel. We're going to do a Patreon one.
Yeah. Too. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let me rephrase. We're going to do a Patreon panel. Patreon.com/breakingthepanel. That's how you're going to get that.
Join us.
Pay me.
But I let I told him, oh, because he doesn't get to geek out with people very often, so he loves us and loves what we do. He's like, oh, that'd be perfect to come on that day and we can talk about Solo. I'm like, sure, we'll do it in the back half, we'll talk about Solo, it'll be cool. So he's gonna be on soon. I'm trying to get Brian D. Bradley to come back fairly soon, and all kind of other fun people. So all right, cool, check us out next week, and go out and make sure you have all the rights to your names.
Breaking the Panel is the flagship podcast on the Giant Size Team Up Network. You can support the show at patreon.com/breakingthepanel, and you'll find more of our amazing podcasts at giantsizeteamup.com.